Thank you, Christian. I'm not used to just talking into a mic. I usually have one on my head. I was going to bring duct tape and tape this to my head, but that would just kind of look weird. As Christian said, I got into ministry when I was 49, but I was a millwright in Defasco in Hamilton for 28 years. And God opened the doors for me to just take a package and leave. So that's another story for another time. But I also, as he said, I'm a pastor up the road. It's 5 minutes away up the road there. And as he said, I'm doing this. All right. Okay. So I'm doing this one here today, but it's a different message this, at 10:30. So don't feel like, you know, I'm not going to go to church today because he's preaching the same message. So I'm kind of keeping to my notes because I got two messages in my head. So if one verse jumps somewhere else, that means I'm probably got the one I'm speaking on today. So, yes, I was a millwright for 28 years. I lived in Hamilton until I was 14, and then we moved to Waynefleet then, and I've been in Waynefleet pretty well all my life. But in 2009, God called me to, I'm going to be biased, the most beautiful and the best church in Canada, and it's just up the road here, and so my heart's there. So Niagara is where my heart is, but Crystal Beach is. And in the many years that I've been in ministry and growing up, I've witnessed a lot of changes in my own spiritual walk. I was, you know, as a teenager, I gave my life to Christ, and then I just developed a theology that was hearsay. You know, I would listen to the preacher or listen to somebody speak, and that would be my theology. And then I got into God's Word and got deeper and deeper into God's Word and developed my own theology that is centered on Christ. So I've witnessed a lot of changes there. So I'm happy that God has taken me deeper with Him. I'm a baby boomer. I've experienced internet birth. How many here have experienced internet birth? So don't feel like you're a dinosaur. This is great because if the computers crash, you know how to survive. Okay? All the younger people below us, this like, they're lost. They'll just be walking around in circles going, where's the Wi-Fi? And so there's a lot of social changes I have developed over the years in ministry, and same in medicine. I'm amazed at how far medicine has come, and I'll share about that a little bit later. But in there's the mental health. Growing up, mental health was kind of taboo in the Christian world. But I want to say that mental health, God has used doctors and different people to embrace it. And then, you know, in so many areas of mental health, like the areas of different syndromes and disorders, like PTSD, we never knew what that was years ago. Anxiety disorder, there's a lot of that going on. Sad, how many suffer from sad? Okay, in the wintertime, because if you're suffering from now, you've got a problem, right? That's seasonal affective disorder. And hypertension syndrome. The list goes on, but professionals have been able to develop effective plans when they narrow down what you may have. But there's one I think that doesn't seem to get touched on. It's more of a psychological, I'm going to say it's more of a spiritual type of disorder. As I reflect, I realize I had it when I was a younger person in my teenage years. It started, and it was WMS. And I believe many of us, almost 98%, have suffered from WMS. And it usually hits when there's traumatic experiences or when you're feeling alone, minding your own business. This WMS hits. And what is WMS? It's the why me syndrome, right? And if you haven't, you don't think, I don't have that. How many drive in traffic in Toronto have, right? And then you all of a sudden you got a traffic jam and you go into the lane that looks like it's going faster and all of a sudden it stops. What do you say? Why me? But those are just small, trivial stuff. But I want to get into a deeper of why me. And I want to turn to God's word. God put the scripture on my heart ever since they asked me to speak today. And he hasn't changed it. So it's our text today is from Acts 16, 25 to 35. 34. And I believe that we need to understand the contents too before we get into just taking verses out of the Bible or text. Understand what is going on in that chunk of scripture that you're reading. Prior to this, Paul just came back from a missionary journey. He was called by God to go out to the Gentile world, which would be the non-Jewish people, and start preaching the gospel. And he just got back with Barnabas. And he's on a high, and they've, they're just kind of chilling back home. And so Paul gets another call, and he wants to go out on ministry again. And Barnabas says, yeah, let's go. And Barnabas says, I want to take John Mark with us. And John Mark was one of the guys that went with him, the original one, but bailed on him. And Paul says, I don't need that. And so they have a disagreement, and they part their ways. So Paul finds a new travel companion, which is Silas. They go to Philippi, and there they have Paul's apprentice comes on board, Timothy. They preach the gospel, and you're going to see that women come to Christ. Lydia receives Christ. And so this is what it's all taking place. And so now they're in Philippi. And so we'll take the story from there. And I want to read the text. And I think it's always important to read the text when you're speaking because I want people to see where it is in the Bible. It's not my own words or my own translation. And this is in Acts 16. We'll start at 25. If anybody's looking for the page, it's 1429. And remember, to help you with scripture, read it like a story. Look at it and see what is going around. Nobody picks up a novel and just reads it and doesn't imagine what is all going on. Do the same with scripture. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came off. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him, and to all the others in his house. At that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. And that's where we were going to end off. And I want to focus on three responses to when WMS hits, or the Why Me syndrome hits. And it will hit us in our path of life. And our first one here is to all the Christ followers, to those who resonate themselves with being in Christ and walking like Paul is. And so Paul and Silas were thrown in jail. And prior to that, they were just minding their own business. They were going to church. And they were just kind of preaching the word there. But there was a woman who was demon-possessed who kept crying out, "These are the men who are going to give you salvation. They're going to point you to Jesus." And we sit there and wonder, well, what's so bad about that? We don't know whether it was in, a sarcastic or a defiant type word. But Paul, finally, he had enough. He didn't want this demon to get praise that God is and Christ is the Savior. So He cast out the demon of this woman. And the problem is, the woman is free from it, but she was making all kinds of money for people because she was predicting the future. And so they lost their income. And that's why Paul and Silas were beaten. And so Paul, and this is where we are. Paul and Silas are in jail, and this is the kind of attitude they got. They said, why me? You know, Silas says to Paul, you know, I knew this was going to happen if you did that. And Paul's sitting there going, oh, God, you know, I do everything for you. I love people. I share your word, and look where it gets me. Paul said that, didn't he? No. What were Paul and Silas doing? See, I do this in my church. I have people answer and try to, you know, because pay attention. So what was Paul and Silas doing when they're in prison? Singing and praising and praying. See, when you sing, when songs come to your heart, especially Christian songs, they bring you joy. They bring you peace. If you don't think music can calm you, think about what you listen to. I know I have an eclectic genre of music that I love listening to. When I'm listening to any kind of rock music, when I'm driving, speed limits don't matter, do they? When you listen to classical music when you're driving, the horns are behind you telling you to go faster because you're calm. And so when I listen to a lot of Christian music, and it just brings me into joy. And that's what these guys are doing here. They're sitting there singing. Instead of the why me, Paul and Silas had a mantra of, why not me, Lord? I was living for you. This is what happened. I was minding my own business. I'm going to sing praises to you. I'm going to pray because something good is going to come out of this. We are called in every situation, good or bad, to share the gospel of Christ. And here's a bad situation that they're sharing the gospel to this in jail, just by singing and praying. That is why Paul can write in Philippians 4 that to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. That's got to be a hard concept when you're beaten, sitting in jail with chains on your arms and probably your feet in stock. You can't move. Many of us would be, why me, Lord? But Paul shows us that we need to change our attitude and say, why not me? And start praising God. And that's where we are, many of us who are Christians. God has given us an opportunity when situations come. How many here have a life of that's perfect? That's a bed of roses, as they say. No, situations happen in life, good or bad. And so the choice for us is, instead of grumbling and pouting and saying, why me? We need to start focusing our attitude and saying, God, why not me? That is the first kind of response that we need to deal with when we get that why me syndrome. Turn it around and give it to God. But the jailer, he came to work. This is the second response. It's another night as usual, a night to rough up the prisoners. Yeah, you know, to just keep them quiet, put them in chains, make sure they're sleeping, because he's on the night shift. He wants to grab a few Z's after, right? And so it's a night as usual. But that night would change his life forever. The earthquake, the doors and chains, they fall off. The jailer runs out. Seemed all hell broke loose in the jail. And his life was not worth anything. You got to realize that the consequences for failing back then, especially if any prisoner escaped, was that the person who allowed them to escape, their life was taken from them. And so this jailer just thinks, it's all over. It's all over. I have no hope. And that's why he draws his sword. And many of us go into life sometimes that way. Those who don't know who Christ is, we just wonder, what's life all about? Is there any hope? As Neil said, a lot of us, when we are asked where we're going when we die, we always try to think, I think I'm going to heaven. I think I'm good enough. I'm a good person. But we got to realize if you take all these people here, everyone here would kind of have a different view on what a good person is. And so I wouldn't leave that up to chance. So this jailer, he's ready to kill himself. Because life changes for him. And for us, it's the same. We can be going along and then bam, your life changes. 3 years ago, my wife, Kathleen, that's over there, she got diagnosed with cancer. And just for a moment, for a few moments there, we're like, why me? Why me? But we realize that God is in control. And we gave it over to him. But this jailer is, why me? And he's about to end it. And Paul, here's the miracle. There's two miracles here. Anybody see an earthquake? I've seen them on TVs. Not just the doors and chains fall off, usually in earthquakes, right? Everything caves in. But here we see the doors and the chains only falling off all the prisoners. And no one escapes. No one leaves. They're just standing there in awe, I guess. And the second miracle is that Paul intervenes. How many of us would intervene if that person was the one that helped with the beating, helped with the injustice, helped with throwing chains on us and just treating us? Paul said, hey, stop, hold it. We're all here. Don't take your life. We're still here. And at that moment, the jailer realized there was hope. And he runs up to Paul and says, what must I do to be saved? And here's where Paul tells him. He takes that why me moment that he's in and is able to help this jailer to understand who Christ is. He shares the good news of what Jesus has done. He shares it all. He tells them what it says in Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. And Paul's able to tell him, I'm a sinner too. But God demonstrates his own love for us to this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that says in Romans 5 and 8. That's what Paul brings to this jailer who thinks life isn't worth living anymore. Paul can resonate with this jailer because prior to Paul going into ministry and receiving Christ, he was going around beating people. He was going around throwing them in jail. He was there condoning the killing of Christians. And so we see a reversal here. Paul's in jail. And what does he do? He shows love to this jailer and says, I want to tell you about Jesus. I want to tell you what Jesus said. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so he points out to the jailer that if you declare with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. It is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. It wasn't no big ritual or, we have to go through a 12-step program. You have to be good enough before you receive Christ. I think sometimes we, as Christians, we want people to change before they receive Christ. Christ calls us where we are at that very moment. Paul, who was killing people, Christ came up to him and called him. Some of us may not think we're worthy of God's love, that we need to change somehow. Scripture says we don't have to. All we have to do is just confess that Christ is our Savior, Christ is Lord, and that he died for our sins. See, God said to Paul, I love you. Jesus said to Paul, I love you. And Paul says to the jailer, I love you. And God loves you, and I want to point you to the way. And the story doesn't stop there, because Christ conquers death. He not only dies for our sins, he raises. And no longer can death have a hold on us. That signifies that we will be spiritually with God forever and ever, eternity. We don't have to say, am I good enough to go to heaven? All we have to say, I know Jesus as my Savior. And that gets us in. See, Jesus showed us the Father's love. And I was just realizing, you can measure God's love. You can. It's about 5.5 feet. That's the love that Christ has for you. His arms spread on the cross so that our sins could be forgiven. See, the gospel, contrary to what people say, is very inclusive. What does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. See, it only becomes exclusive if we refuse his grace. That's what Neil was saying on the first one. God gives us a gift. And it's whether we take it to use it that it means something. God gave us a gift of his Son, Jesus. The choice is whether we use it or not. Do we receive Christ knowing that he is the Son of God? That we are sinners, we're lost, we're separated from God. That's what Scripture tells us, that's what it points out to us. That the Bible is just to say that God is a God of love who wants to forgive us. Who's provided a way because we can't do it on our own. And that's what Paul was sharing to them. We've heard stories about others who came on a boat here thinking that they were just going to sit here and then go fishing. And they gave their life to Christ. I had a gentleman that lived at the corner close to the church. He phoned me up and wanted to be baptized in his bathtub because his aunt told him, this gentleman was 7 years old, his aunt told him he wasn't going to heaven because he wasn't baptized. So I explained to him what the Scriptures say, what God's plan is. It's not about baptism. Baptism is just an outward appearance and a proclamation of showing that you have given your life over to Christ. It's just like when you do your wedding vows, you proclaim to everybody that you're going to put your love into that person and that they're the only ones that you want to serve. That's what we're called to do. And that's what we have heard. And that's what a chance for some of us here who haven't heard or maybe are toying with this God stuff and what Jesus is. The second response to the why me is hear God speak and see him talking to you. See him, he's reached out to you through these people. God uses people. God uses people with their own situations to be able to help people. Paul was able to help this jailer in his own situation. He understood what this jailer was going through and was able to share the gospel. Maybe somebody here is going through something. The challenge is to say, hey, God, how can I use it to reach others? And the third response, it's very inconclusive when you read it, when you look at the scripture. See, we hear that the other prisoners heard the good news, but are not told how they responded. We're kind of left in limbo, wondering, because they're all there, they're loose. They have no chains on. See, maybe some of us here are hearing the good news and the gospel for the first time. We're going to give you an opportunity to hear, to come and just proclaim your love to Christ, that he died for you and loves you and wants you as his child. Or maybe you'll be like those prisoners that heard it and didn't do anything about it. But I'm going to tell you that those doors were closed and those chains were put back on. See, the enemy doesn't want us to know anything about God. He doesn't want us being with God. He wants to keep us separated from God because he can't defeat God. So he turns his attention to us. The challenge is, don't let that door close on you. Don't let those chains get on. The world has nothing to offer. Yes, we may live in it, but there's nothing that the world can offer us that will give us eternal life, that'll give us significance, give us, that we're able, hope that we are going to heaven. So the challenge for us today is, how do you navigate your responses to why me? Do you pout and get angry and say, why are you picking on me, Lord? Or do you say, I don't know why we're going through this, Lord, but there must be somebody out there that I can help and share the gospel with. See, the more you mind your own business, the more you decline Christ's business. Some of us Christians, we just want to go through life being a Christian, minding our own business. But that's not what Christ called us to do. Maybe someone here is thinking that, we need to hear good messages from Scripture. And all messages from Scripture are good, but they're to challenge us. They're to put us into action. As it says, the workers are few. The harvest is great. There's a whole world past those ropes there and past the entrance that need to hear Jesus, that need to know who Christ is. Do we stop saying negatively, why me, Lord? And start having the answer of, why not me, Lord? Use me. Thank you for allowing me to be your child. Thank you for loving me. Or do we go away closing the door and putting back on the chains? See, one day there's going to be a final why me. As I look around, I don't see anybody over 120. So that means there will be a final day of why me. It's when death takes over. Physically. But today is the day when we choose where we're going to spend eternity. Is it going to be with Christ forever? Or is it going to be in a place separated from God that's just, you can't imagine what it's going to be like? The choice today is for us. Today is the day we could go from WMS, why me syndrome, to why not me, being a child of God. And we're going to call people up here. If you want to give your life to Christ, if you haven't, today's the day to do it. Because we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't even know what we're going to do this afternoon, what it's going to bring. It may bring a why me moment. If you're still checking it out, I encourage you to continue to dig deeper. Don't put it off too much. I'm going to close in prayer. If anybody who wants to receive Christ and wants to know more about Jesus, just raise your hand, and then we're going to call you forward later to come and pray. But don't worry about what anybody is doing and looking at you. Just look at your neighbors. Not one of them can promise or give you eternity. Not one of them can forgive your sins. Only Christ can. It's only up to you and your relationship with God. Nobody else can change that for you. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that if there's some here who want to know you, who want to give their life to you, just like that jailer, there's some here who feel that, you know, I'm not worthy of it. Lord, I pray that you would just help them to just give their life to you right now, Lord. I pray that you would just help them to raise their hands right now, Lord. And Lord, there's some here too, Lord, that we go through life, minding our own business as Christians. Lord, I pray that you would just challenge us to go from minding our own business to minding your business. That we can just look at our situations, not only in the good times, but in the bad times. How do we share your love to others? How do we share your son, Jesus, to others? So maybe that's the challenge for many of us here today, that we leave this place differently and knowing the urgency of what it means to go and share the gospel. And Lord, there's people here still toying with the idea. Lord, I pray that you would continue with your spirit to just nudge them and push them, not into pushing them to love you, but pushing them into making a decision. Because we're not guaranteed how long we're here. So thank you, Lord, for all this, Lord. Thank you for this message. We can learn from stories in the Bible that through different circumstances, your love shows and your love reigns. And you want each and every one of us to be your child. I thank you. Pray this in your name. Amen.